Hi, this is your host, Michael Britt. Thanks to you, The Psych Files has become incredibly popular. Thousands of episodes are downloaded every day by students looking for help on their tests, professionals preparing for exams, and lifelong learners who just enjoy hearing about psychology. Now, this success is great, but it's expensive, and I really need your help to keep the podcast going. Check out the website at thepsychfiles.com and become a patron. For the price of a cup of coffee or a slice of pizza, you can keep the show going. And if you enjoy the show, it has helped you with your tests, then please lend a hand. Click on the Patreon logo on the Psych Files website. Become a patron and keep your show going and growing. Thanks so much.
Okay, here we go. Speed. I am speed. Focus.
Hey, Lightning, you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Hello and welcome to The Psych Files, episode 181, which we're going to talk about sports psychology. Now, if you have ever seen the movie Cars, then you recognize the opening of the episode there. A little clip from one of the two movies in which our hero, what's his name? Lightning McQueen. Psychs himself up with a little self-talk. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about. So we're going to talk about the things that we talk to ourselves about when we're involved in a sportive activity. An interesting bit of research about how it is that time seems to slow down when you're involved, at certain moments when you're involved in a sport. The first one is an article I can't seem to find anymore, but it had a really interesting finding that I saw a little bit as I watched the Olympics. So the idea is when you're first starting out on learning an activity, it's a little bit of sports, a little bit of other kinds of activities as well. But so when you, let's say you're, you know, you're just starting out on a new fitness program, what you tend to do at this point, when you talk to yourself, either during or after the activity, you tend to tell yourself how much progress you've made. So after about a week or 2 weeks, you really maybe exaggerate how much progress you've made in what you're doing. And this is something that we find that people do in order to keep themselves motivated. Right? So you'll say, look at what you've done. You did this, you did that. You know, so you're trying to get yourself going. Now, what happens near the end? So when you're just about to reach your goal, so be it that you're trying to lose a certain amount of weight, or let's say that you're involved in a Olympic competition and you've got 8 races total, let's say, and only 2 to go. Well, when you get towards your goal, you start to say things that exaggerate the amount of time and effort that have to go in to reaching your goal. So you say things to yourself like, well, it's not over yet. Hang in there, boy. You've got a ways to go. Even if you really don't. And I remember there was an interview with Michael Phelps, and I think he had maybe 2 races left. And this was exactly the sort of thing that he was saying, that, we got a ways to go yet here. You know, he was almost like you're saying, I mean, I was saying to myself, well, actually, it's almost over, you know. But you don't want to, I guess we don't want to say, hey, I'm almost there, it's almost over. We're afraid that we might not work as hard, that we might lose our motivation if we congratulate ourselves too early. Maybe that's the thinking. So instead, what you do is you exaggerate how much is left. So you say to yourself, now hold on there, we still got a ways to go here. Even if you really don't, right? So if you're trying to lose 100 pounds and you lost 90 pounds, you're pretty much almost there. But you'll probably say to yourself, oh, hold on now, let's slow down here because you have a ways to go yet. It's an interesting, funny way that we talk to ourselves and the things that we say to moderate our own motivation. All right. So that's one little tidbit. Thought that was interesting. The other one is a pretty interesting study on self-talk. And I got this from a researcher. I think they're in Greece because I can't pronounce any of their names. In fact, I even contacted him and said, how do you pronounce your name? And he said something like this. It's something like, it's the first name is Antonis Hatzigeorgiadis. And I hope that's good enough. And Nikos Zorbanos and Evangelos Galanis and Yiannis Theodorakis. Actually, that's the best I can do. I think that's pretty good. So they have done a bunch of interesting studies, more than a few studies, on sports and the kind of talk that we have. So it's not all what we might think of as motivational talk. Now, the quote, the audio snippet from Cars is what these researchers would refer to as motivational self-talk, right? So I am speed. The other kinds of things you might say to yourself, right? In your head, you're talking to yourself while you're doing whatever it is you might be doing, right? It could be baseball, and you're prepared there. You're standing there at the plate, you got the bat in your hand, you're getting ready to hit. Or before you're in the batter's box, or swimmers before and during the swimming task. They've even looked at golfers, in particular when they're putting, dart throwers, all kinds of interesting sports. So here's some research you could do, right? If you're interested in psychology and you might be interested in being a sports psychologist. So speech like I am speed, this is what they refer to as motivational self-talk. To be differentiated from other kinds of self-talk, which I'll do in just a second, but motivational self-talk. So I can do it, or you can do it, right? Let's go, or come on, all that kind of do it kind of talk. Okay, motivational self-talk. Now, there's also the kind of talk where you're telling yourself what you ought to be doing. So you might say to yourself, let's say you're baseball, right? You might be saying to yourself, particularly in the beginning, and this is when self-talk is most useful, when you're learning a sport and trying to get back into being as good as you were in a sport. Let's say you've had a little period of, things weren't going right, which we'll talk about again in a little while later. So mostly in the beginning, you say to yourself, okay, now keep your elbows high. Right, you might say that when you're batting or something like that. You keep your eye on the ball. Right, keep your eye on the target. A little bit more smoothly here. Let's slow down here a little bit. Remember to do this around the corners. Right, so you are instructing yourself as you participate in the sport. So that's instructional self-talk, and the let's do it is more motivational self-talk. And so what we find is that if the task you're doing, like dart throwing or golf putting, involves pretty fine motor skills, dexterity, eye-hand coordination, then instructional talk is better. So telling yourself, all right, now you're going to hold it this way, keep your arm parallel to the ground, or golf putting, it might be, okay, nice, back up just a little, nice and smooth, make sure to follow through. All that is instructional self-talk. So that's good when the activity involves a fine motor skill. I'm going to try and pronounce this guy's name again. Hatzigeorgiadis and colleagues, when they did a study in a swimming pool. This has got to be fun research, right? Where they had participants. Now, that's interesting, right? Now, this would be a fun study to be a participant, and you have to get into a bathing suit in order to participate in this one. A lot better than just filling out paperwork. So you get in your bathing suit, and you get in the pool, and you're asked to do two activities. One of them is kind of a fine motor skill. You have to throw a ball across the pool and hit a certain target over there, right? And that's the what do they refer to it as? A precision task, as opposed to a power task, which is throw the ball as far as you possibly can. Okay. And, you can picture people doing this in basketball, too, right? They throw the ball as far as they can. And so they find in these situations, right, that if you're trying to hit a target, or I can imagine if you're in basketball, right, you're just trying to make a shot, then instructional talk is best. So they manipulate this by having people use talk that doesn't really fit the situation. So if you're trying to do a golf, trying to putt the ball, we might ask you to say things like, "You can do it, let's go, you know, come on." That kind of thing. Not as useful as telling you to use the kind of talk that is more instructional. So same thing in the pool here, right? If you're doing a power task, then it's better to say, "All right, let's go," rather than remind yourself of how you ought to be holding the ball, how far back to hold it, that kind of thing. And apparently what this, getting the right kind of talk matched to the right kind of task, and you know, using self-talk helps to keep other sorts of talk out of your head, okay? Enhances your concentration on the task, right? So you may know some of this stuff, but maybe you didn't know that the researchers were really looking at the type of talk, the type of skill, and even your experience with the task. Is it new or is it well-learned task? And if it's well-learned, then either types of these talks are not, the instructional is much, much less needed, as is the motivational, right? Because you have a lot of experience with it. As an aside to this, I asked some of the Psych Files Facebook fans, and we're up to about a little over 800 now. Come on over to Facebook.com/groups/The Psych Files, because I'll ask people, "Hey, what do you think of this?" Got a couple of interesting responses. Robin is a competitive sailor. Now, this is what's interesting here is he'll tell himself things like, "I suck." Right? And I thought that was really interesting because he feels that this quote makes me centered in my actions and a bit more angry, and which creates a drive to partly to prove myself wrong and bring up some energy. So if you've ever done that where you just tell yourself, "Man, that was crap." Right? That's an interesting self-talk that I have not been able to find someone looked at. I'll have to ask the Greeks, forget it, I can't pronounce their names again, if they've looked at this. A couple of things. One is negative self-talk being used to motivate yourself. And I'm not much of a sportsman, but I use self-talk for other things, including, the way I talk to myself either during or after I've been dealing with my kids. And sometimes I'll say things like, "Well, you could have done better on that one," "Man, that stunk. That didn't go well." And yeah, sometimes I use that to try to get myself to do better. And sometimes I'll do something. I talked to another person, actually someone in the Sci-Fi Facebook group, Gene Geist. Thank you, Gene. He recommended I talk to Connie Vaughn. Connie has a master's degree in developmental psychology and is a triathlete. And so she's very interesting. She's got her own blog, Connie Vaughn /Decade, I think it's called. But I'll give you a link to her site on my webpage, www.thepsychfiles.com. Because here's something that's interesting, quote, yet another little nuance to this self-talk thing. She says she thinks of it in this way. Since endurance sports, now she does, triathlons, aren't so much fine motor skills, the skill in racing primarily comes down to managing one's energy and pacing. So you can imagine if you watched any of those really, really long races during the Olympics, races that went on for hours, it's all about pacing. So she says she would be monitoring her breathing rate, the sensation in her muscles, the sense of relaxation, and then telling herself adjustments to make. So that sounds more like the instructional self-talk occurring during the activity itself rather than before. One thing she says is that I found interesting too. One thing I find interesting in general, quote, not just in sports, is the difference between when we use self-talk, like I, versus you. It's intriguing that motivational self-talk, continuing her quote, is almost always you, as if you are split into two people, the one making the effort and the other one who's doing the encouraging. So I haven't seen this. Got to look for this in the sports psychology research. But what is the difference between when you say, as Robin here says, well, I suck, you know, you use yourself. Why not say, well, boy, you sucked at that one, right? I don't know. I'm curious as to when we would use the first person and when we would, you know, I did terrible or I did great or I, you know, I am speed, right? Or I can do it versus you can do it or even let's go. So there's the I versus you issue, and then there's the negative versus positive stuff, because we usually think of, you know, motivational talk as being positive. So that there's a lot of interesting stuff going on in here. Now, the last bit that I think is interesting is there's been a bunch of blog posts that I've seen about this, referring to it as bullet time. The sensation that you might have of time slowing down. Or remember, you know, if you ever heard baseball players say, I'm just not seeing the ball. So there's a time when things are going right for you, when it almost looks or feels like time is slowing down and you can really see the ball. And in movies, you'll see this happen. They'll, you know, they'll go and use slow motion. So, you know, you'll have the batter, if it's a baseball movie. The ball, which is in slow motion, it's turning, it's coming towards him, the bat comes around, you're really seeing things. So a bunch of interesting research here, in which this is referred to as the chronostasis illusion. I love that one. The chronostasis, time static for chronostasis, or time distortion. Now, the researchers here are, let's see if I can get this right, Nobuhiro Hagura, Ryota Kanai, Giotto Orgs, and Patrick Haggard. A little combination there of researchers from the University of London and from Japan, the Brain Information Communication Research Laboratory Group. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so they do this series of studies. Now, how do you study this? If you indeed believe that baseball players, you know, I wonder who anybody else out there is listening who says, "Oh yeah, I experienced that in this sport, this time slowing down." I'd really love to hear that. It's because it's an interesting, you know, sort of thing. How does that happen? What is going on in your brain that makes it look like the ball is slowing down as it approaches you? Why can you see the ball more clearly? I've even heard baseball players say that they can see the, what do you call those, the threads? Not the threads. Maybe it's the threads on the ball. So, what's going on? Well, these researchers hypothesize that, quote, the brain adjusts the flow rate of incoming information during motor preparation. Okay, I'll explain this just a second. And this process leads to the perception of slowing down. Now, a couple of key things. It seems to happen most when you are preparing for an action, right? So it's just before you're about to do something. How do you bring this into the laboratory? All right, baseball players and all that kind of thing. Well, they did a study where they basically had participants looking at a computer monitor. And there was a white disc there in the middle, right, circle. And then they were holding down on a mouse key and told, okay, you know, when it goes from a filled circle to a hollow one, with just the outline of the circle, then press the key. And some groups were asked to hold on to the key, then let the key go and reach over and touch the screen where the white disc was. So some groups, the details, you got to get into this article because it's lengthy. It took me a heck of a long time to read this thing and underline, etc. Some groups were just simply watching and then noting when the circle changed. Some of them, you know, some of these circles had blurs in them. Some of them had letters in them because they wanted to see, could one or another group tell. They had the letters, by the way, were C, and G, which are two letters which are easy to mix up. So some were told, you know, watch the circle, and a letter is going to flash, and figure out which letter that is. Tell us which letter that is. The groups that did the best, the groups for which, and they were asked, you know, did it appear, how much time do you think you had? Was this longer? Was it less? Was it more? The groups that were preparing to reach over and touch the screen experienced this chronostasis, if you will, this time distortion, more so than the groups that were just watching the screen. So you have to be in so when you think about this, if you're involved in a sport, think about when this time distortion occurs, and does it indeed agree with this research that it occurs just before you're about to make some sort of motor activity. Now, apparently, what they believe is going on here, and this is a good one for anyone who's learning psychology or teaching it, and you get to the biopsych part, you know, where you're learning all the parts of the brain, and you're asking yourself, I thought this was psychology. Why am I learning about the parts of the brain? Well, this is where it comes into play. I think this is a kind of a fun example, because you might, you know, if students do say, if you say to yourself, why am I learning about the parts of the brain? Well, are you interested in sports psychology? Are you interested in sports? Have you ever wondered why it seems like you can see the ball at times and why you can't at other times? Well, it has to do, apparently. So where do you process visual information? Where in the brain? Well, broadly, that would be the occipital lobe. And so what they believe is going on is that there is this heightened information. Let me just quote from them. Quote, neuron activity or neuronal activity in the visuomotor areas is already observed during the motor preparation period. It has been shown that the visual areas in the occipital and parietal regions, parietal has to do with the touch and movement, are connected with motor areas. Hence, it's plausible to think that not only motor processing, but also sensory processing is adaptively tuned during the motor preparatory period. So, you know, a long way of saying, do I have a quote that just kind of spills this out a little bit better than this? Not really. It's a little bit complicated, the way that they write this stuff out. So that's why I had to reread this thing. But essentially what they're saying is that there is this heightened neuronal activity in your occipital lobe, parietal lobe. So there is more information flooding into your brain during this preparatory period. And that is what makes it appear, in a sense, I mean, you are seeing things in a heightened way. You are processing more perceptual information during this time right before you make an action. So your brain's getting flooded with all this information, and it gives you an illusion that time is going slower because you're getting so much more information into your brain. Hopefully that explains it. I don't know if I did quite the justice to this that I wanted to. It's pretty interesting stuff. It's not an illusion that there really is something going on in our brains when we believe we're really seeing the ball. And it's what's interesting about understanding this better is when someone who's involved in a sport says, you know, I'm in a lull, I just don't see the ball anymore. This kind of research could be really interesting because it could lead to new exercises. In other words, how do we get you out of this lull? How do we get you to see the ball? Maybe there are new kinds of activities that strengthen the connections between your occipital and parietal lobes, which would allow you to see the ball better and to experience this slowing down of time. So, and in training as well. So training new, this would be interesting because connecting this with the previous one, if you're learning a new sport, ways that a sports psychologist could help out is both in helping you to focus on your self-talk. What kind should you be using? And what are the things you could say to yourself? Plus, employing exercises that assist in this connection between your various lobes of your brain, which will allow you to see the ball and you know, obviously improve your performance. So that's a pretty cool area. The sports psychology used to be a lot of you know, self-talk, but now we're getting as we become more sophisticated with MRIs and PET scans. I think we're going to be able to develop exercises which are even more targeted at helping athletes improve their performance. Of course, you could always worry about the sort of thing and bring it all the way down the line to those days when we think we're going to be able to design our babies, and you're going to say to the genetic counselor, well, I want an athlete. Can you give me one who has really strong connections between the occipital lobe and the parietal lobe? Oh, dear, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Yeah, I guess it's possible. And just to let you know, again, the Facebook group, feel free to drop by there. Maybe I'll ask a question that I can quote you on. Thanks to the folks quoted today, Connie Vaughn at connievaughn.com. Also got some interesting feedback from Robin Axelson, who is a competitive sailor. So drop by. You can, from the website, www.thepsychfiles.com, you can get all the links to the Facebook group, follow me on Twitter, that sort of thing. And don't forget about the apps. If you're interested in psychology, this sort of stuff is, you'll find it in the apps. So Psych Explorer, that's the news app. And Psych Test Hero, that's the test preparation app. So if you search for the Psych Files in iTunes or in the Google Play, you will find some apps that I've created, including Brain Mnemonics, which helps you to memorize these various parts of the brain. And once again, a reminder about the Patreon campaign. If you enjoy the show or it has helped you on your exams, please help me to keep it going. A small donation per month will keep the Psych Files going, and we can do more. So give just a little bit and become a part of the show. Thanks.